Welcome to the Burn Brightly podcast, a podcast for women who were born to burn bright without burning out. I'm your host, Hannah Austin. I'm an ex-corporate workaholic, and I learned to slow the burn and find balance. If you're ready to feel inspired and beat burnout and create that spark in your life again, these episodes will help you keep your flame alive. Let's dive in. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Kathy. I know we've tried to schedule this a couple times. We're both very busy women, and I really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, I'm so glad it finally worked out.
Great. Well, I am just really intrigued by your story. I watched your TED Talk, the before Kathy, and I'm meeting you today as the after Kathy. I'd love for you to tell our audience a little bit about Kathy before. When she's on that TED Talk stage, I think you said 10 years ago. Tell us about what was going on in your life. I'd love to hear kind of the opening for the audience today of the before Kathy and what her story was.
It was just about 10 years ago today. And my life was so different than it is right now. At the time, I was married, had three beautiful kids, and we had this lovely little life here in Connecticut. And it very quickly changed when my now ex-husband was incarcerated. He ended up going to federal prison for a year, which left me immediately as a single mom, the breadwinner for the family, completely devastated emotionally. It was just a really, really, a very, very difficult time. And when I took the stage, I was only 2 weeks into it. He had just left 2 weeks prior. So at that time, I really didn't even know what was coming. I only knew the struggle that we had been through, which took a couple of years to get through that process of him actually leaving.
Without getting into the details, I don't know how comfortable you are sharing, but looking at that woman now, when you watch that TED Talk, you know, were you prepared for what was coming? Or was it like, okay, we know the details of what's happening, but I'm not quite sure how to prepare for it?
I had some of the skills that I needed. For a few years before that, I had gone to Al-Anon meetings for someone else in my life, not my husband, but someone else in my life. And I had learned a lot of coping skills, things that would help get me through that situation. But when I look back from today, I know that at that time, I was just really focus on being strong. I just powered on. I got a completely new career. I did as much as I could for my kids. I showed up as much as was possible for me in the state that I was in. So, but I look back at it as like powering through it. I felt like I was a minute away from collapsing. I felt like I was just dying on the inside. I was drinking too much. I was using work as a distraction. I had all kinds of distractions from having to feel the feelings that I was going through. And, you know, I was also feeling them for my kids, which is a part of why I was so overwhelmed. I was taking on this situation for everyone around me.
Oh, and I think that's what we do so often as women and people in general is try to be strong for those people on the external when you're dying and suffering inside on the internal. Walk me through what your mindset was as far as the loneliness piece. I know often when we put up that barrier externally just to charge forward and move forward for those that we love, whether it's your husband or your kids or whoever in your life. Talk to me about the loneliness and isolation. You did mention that you were drinking more and working more, but what was it like to be inside your head? And the reason why I'm harping on this a little bit is I talk to a lot of people who are suffering from burnout or grief or trauma, and they're really suffering in silence, whether they're using, you know, substances to calm that nerve or numb it out, basically. But talk to me a little bit about the loneliness, because I know a lot of our listeners write into me and say to me, I'm so lonely, you know, I need help, but I don't know how to ask for it.
Yeah, that was the overwhelming feeling. And thing that I had to really work through. And I have a whole different perspective on loneliness and being alone today. Mm-hmm. But at the time, there wasn't anyone for me that had been through the same situation. You know, it was a while back. So at that point, some of our friends who are now divorced weren't divorced. We were kind of going through it for the first in our peer group. And I was very much attached to my husband at the time. We were together. We worked together. You know, we were together all the time. So him leaving was the loneliest that I have ever felt in my life. I did have my family around. I've always had amazing friends around, but the loneliness was overwhelming. And that is why I had unhealthy relationships. That's why I was looking everywhere else to kind of fill that void for me. It was the most painful. That loneliness was the most painful part.
Thank you for sharing that. I know as you're talking, it's really hitting me home because I remember, you know, my experience with burnout and just the loneliness that I felt because I had to be so perfect from the outside because I was the fun one and the energetic one and the one that did everything. So I can imagine and know and relate to what you're saying. Okay, so you're on the TED Talk stage. You're feeling these feelings. You don't know what's coming next, right? You have no idea. Walk me through when you get off that TED Talk stage and kind of walk me through how you stepped into another pattern. So your husband went to prison. It sounds like you guys ended the relationship and then sounds like you got in a new relationship. Walk me through kind of the next steps there.
Yeah, it took a while. It took a few years first of all, I was so disconnected from myself that now looking back, I was looking in, you know, for love in all the wrong places. I was looking for all the wrong types of love that I thought was love. I was actually looking for someone to make me feel safe again, I wanted a dad for, you know, a father figure for my kids. I wanted someone to protect me. I wanted all of these things from someone instead of coming from myself, which is right. Where now. And so I did, you know, a few years later, I ended up meeting somebody who I thought was the person that was going to be my future. And it didn't take long for it to crash and burn. And when it did, I found out that I was so needy for that relationship, for any relationship, that was why I felt this deep. I felt like I was broken, which I know is not true. And I know whenever I talk to, you know, I always remind people that they're not broken. They might be bent, but we're not broken, even when I definitely felt that way. So in that situation, I was so desperate for peace. I was so destroyed by that at the time that I started doing a lot of research and talking to people. And I found out the terms about codependency and in the relationship to toxic relationships and all kinds of behaviors and patterns and thinking that I identified with. So I decided to take responsibility for myself and my own healing so that I would never have to feel this devastation that I was now feeling again.
How did you start on the path to recognizing, though, that those were unhealthy relationships or behaviors, or you were searching for a peace within yourself that you ultimately had within yourself, but you didn't know? So you were searching for that in an external relationship. How do you get there? I think a lot of people who are listening, and I wrote this in my book as well, is how do you go from here, right, to desired state? And then how do you start to kind of recognize those red flags, per se, or, you know, what exactly is happening during that time when you're in this new relationship? You're obviously traumatized from your previous relationship and all the stuff that you went through. Talk to me a little bit about those red flags and like, what was your gut saying? Because I'm inherently a belief in your body knows and your gut knows and your heart knows.
Yes, absolutely. And I remember in that toxic relationship at the end that my body did know, and I would start to say something, but I wasn't strong enough or healthy enough at that time to actually follow through on what I knew to be true and healthy. So what's easiest for all of us is to see problems or issues in other people. And so when that happened, it was very easy for me to see all of his toxic traits. And that is how I ended up finding my own, because every time I did research on those toxic traits, it kept talking about the relationship of the codependent person with them. And that's what led me on the journey. So I collected all of these, but I had all a stack of books by my side, and they were all on healing from codependency and love addiction. And I would read through the first few chapters and I would identify with everything that they wrote. And then by the fourth chapter, they would say, okay, so this is how you heal. And it would be self-care and whatever it was, but I would close the book because I didn't.
You're like, that's not me. It's him.
Right. Right. And I didn't, it seemed like too much. It seemed like, you know, I was in my 40s and I've been this way my whole life up until then. And it just seemed like too much. And it wasn't until I finally read chapter 4 that I started to see little glimpses of something I could do. But at the time I had to Google, you know, it would say, they would all say, start taking care of yourself, focus on yourself, spend time with yourself, you know, do the things that you like to do. And I had no clue. I started Googling, what is self-care? How do you self-care? I did not know what that meant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's how it happened.
I think that's pretty common. I think, you know, now, you know, 2024, we hear self-care all the time and put on your oxygen mask and drink more water and get more sleep. But ultimately, you know, self-care starts with the inside out. Those are tactics, right, that you can use to add to your self-care. When you look today at your definition of self-care, what would it be? When someone's saying, gosh, I don't know what self-care is, Hannah and Kathy, what is it really, other than the definition that you could Google? What does it truly mean for you now?
Yeah. To me, it is a true connection back to myself. It's truly knowing who I am, what I want, what I need, what I believe, and being able to speak up for myself, being able to trust myself, being able to forgive myself for those things in the past that I'm not, you know, proud of. It is the self-talk that mm-hmm. I have throughout the day. Real self-care is just within my body. It's my breath. It's, you know, choosing to go for a walk. It's all right here.
That's so beautiful. And it's so true. I think people look, and I was guilty of this as well, for the external to validate who we truly are inside. Now it's getting more acceptable, right, to stress our mental health and wellness and to take care of ourselves from the inside out. But many of the people in listening right now are like, how do I even begin to chart a course to do that? I am curious, and I know that you work with several people in your, you know, client practice as well. If someone's listening to this right now, and I know many of you are because you've reached out to me and said, I'm so busy, Hannah, I don't have time to learn who I am, learn my boundaries, I'm scared to speak up. Kathy, what would your advice be, being the previous Kathy and now being your true self, Kathy? Where does someone even start?
The beginning is just in the noticing. It's really in just noticing how you're talking to yourself. It's noticing that you're holding your breath. It's noticing that you're reaching for food or alcohol or a relationship to entertain you or make you feel better or whatever that is. It's really just noticing and accepting that it is our own responsibility to take care of ourselves. It's no one else's, and that it's possible. Sometimes we avoid the things that we think are not possible. Why even bother? But I can tell you that the healing and my own healing, I watched it happen, was so much faster than I could have ever imagined.
It's, I love that.
Definitely possible.
Can you describe the feelings that you felt on that stage at TED? I mean, obviously you're nervous because you're on a TED Talk stage, but that feeling in, at that time in your life compared to the feelings now, don't describe it, but what are the actual feelings that you felt in your body before and after?
I felt very hollow. at that. I remember being on the stage feeling very empty. For me today, I feel much more solid, grounded, sure of myself. Definitely, if I were on the stage again today, I would be nervous, but in a very different way. At that time, it was this feeling of being a shell. Like, will I just drop right here, right now?
Mm. When you're describing that hollowness and that shell versus feeling very full and, you know, rewarded, right? You know, you have a sense of your true self and you're standing in your own power. If you were to do a TED Talk again today, what would the topic be? And you mentioned how you would feel, but what is your real mission now? And what do you want to say to other people who are having that hollow feeling? What would be your next TED Talk legacy?
Yeah, I would love, I actually did just apply to do another TED Talk, because to me, the difference in myself 10 years ago to today is so different. It's the self-care has impacted my relationships with everyone and everything, including food and money and alcohol and everything. And so I know that at that time, a lot of people were congratulating me or applauding me for being strong. I just didn't know that there was a difference between being strong and being healthy. And that's what I would talk about. And that's what I would encourage people again to just notice is, are they just being strong and not feeling the feelings?
Ooh, that resonates so much, because, you know, talk to a lot of people who are suffering from burnout or having some mental health and wellness issues, and they are saying that the outside and the inside don't match. And the words that they use is, I have to be strong for others. I should be doing this. And when you talk to people who are on the other side, like you and myself, it's the feeling is so different. I'm more grounded in who I am. I know what I want. Strength is also being vulnerable and sharing your story of when you weren't strong. And I think strength sometimes is about going through the SHIT versus going around it. And strength is turning towards yourself internally versus those external vices. I hope you get the TED Talk. That sounds like an amazing one. I'd love to listen to that. What advice would you have today for someone who's, you know, on a walk right now, listening to this, in their car on a commute, who are feeling a sense of hollowness? What advice and gentle care would you say for them today?
I would say that the answers, the solutions, the healing is all out there, and it's going to be different for you than it was for me or for you, Hannah. It's unique to each person. It looks different. It's, you know, so I would just say, look for what works for you. And if it doesn't make sense at first, just keep at it, because it's like building blocks. You might hear something one day, it doesn't make sense, but then you hear about it again. And then all of a sudden it does start to make sense. The other thing is that if we look at younger people, and it's very easy for us to look at them and know how we would protect them or what we would share with them. If we can just start looking at ourselves with that same lens, like we're the younger, like it's the younger version of us, what would we tell them to protect that their energy, set boundaries, things like that? Like, I work with a 13-year-old who just last night we were on a call, and halfway through, I could tell she was exhausted. She was burnt out from sports and school and everything else she has to do. And I said, do you need to cut this call short? And she said, oh no, I can't do that. I'll just power through. I said, wait a second. I said, are you powering through because of what you think I might say or think that you're lazy or whatever it is? Or is it because of your parents? I said, I really want you to make this decision for yourself. And she said, I need to hang up now. And so even though it was a half of our call, it was probably the biggest call we've ever had. She made a real-time decision for herself. So
that's so beautiful. I mean, that's so beautiful. And especially, you know, now, you know, working with the younger generation, especially with the workforce, right? There's four generations now at work, and the Gen X, Gen Z, you know, they're really learning to advocate for themselves and using their voice. And I feel like as women who have recovered from burnout or recovered from just living externally and now living internally, it is our legacy, I think, Kathy, to share with the younger generation and everyone that we come in contact with that there is a better life out there, but it's going to take work, right? It's not just going to happen overnight. You're not just going to do a TED talk and then your life is miraculously different. You know, life happens in public and in private. So thank you for inspiring the next generation and for what you said to her is she made the decision for herself.
Right. And so that's why I think if people listening can just give themselves the same grace as they would a child or a young woman, that can be a great way to start.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Where can we find you? Where can our listeners find you and locate you if they do need some self-care?
Sure. My website's probably the easiest. It's kathy-love.com. And that has my self-care. Am I allowed to say that word? My self-care ship, the workbook on it. And that book is really, that book came from notes that I was keeping on my phone as I recovered, as I started to heal. And then I printed it for my clients. So it's really a very simple workbook, but it is a great place to start to just connect to yourself and get to know yourself better.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate hearing your story. I love what you said about turning towards yourself, right? I mean, the answers are all within us. We just need to unlock those answers for ourselves. And it's different for every single person. So thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you for having these conversations. They're so important. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Burn Brightly podcast. If you're here, you're probably pretty familiar with the sensation of being burned out. But where are you right now on the burnout scale? If you've been feeling like you're burning the candle at both ends, I have a free quiz that can help. You can get started at www.sheshatters.com/quiz. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and don't forget to leave a review. I'll see you next time.